It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 659. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message on Skype. The phone number is Mike Tech Show, all one word. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow, and also facebook.com/miketechshow. This show is brought to you by two sponsors. The first, Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Don't forget to use the promo code MikeTechShow. And you can also just go directly to instanthousecall.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow to get that 15-day free trial. Show is also brought to you by Malwarebytes. They have a portable all-in-one computer toolkit called the Malwarebytes Toolset to help you diagnose, remediate, repair, and secure PCs. One of the great features is the system summary that comes up the minute you launch this on a computer. You get the operating system info, what version of Windows is it activated, device manager, if there's any errors, Windows updates, are there any pending. You get hardware, you get the motherboard model, the memory, details on the video card, the processor, and power. If it's a laptop, you're even going to get a health check on the battery. And then don't forget the disk drives, where you get all of the make and models of all of the drives and how much space is left. This is presented to you right off the start when you launch the utility. It is great. The link will be in the show notes for you to sign up. I'm going to talk about the ITO conference and what's happening with my foot. Then I don't want to just bring everybody down, but I got it. You know, this is how I am. It's like the Mike Smith reality show, and I got to talk about it. I'm going to do that. And then I have lots of great information. I'm going to talk about Untangle and something I learned, which is actually very good, that one of my biggest clients. And then Windows 10, I can't help it. I have issues. I have things that I want to discuss with Windows 10, but I also have some great sites that I believe will help you. I'm going to talk about that. Only have a couple emails. So let's begin. My foot is not healing well. So surgery is scheduled for tentatively July 18th. It's a Wednesday. On the 16th in the early morning, I have another set of x-rays. The last set last week, the x-rays showed that my foot is getting worse. It's not healing. It is giving me a very difficult time. I am having a lot of trouble with this. So here's what's going to happen. There is no way, and I already let the people running the ITO conference know, I will not be attending. It is impossible for me to book airfare now and plan on going out there when I'm looking down surgery on my foot. It's an impossibility. I apologize. And if any of you are going just to meet me, I know Lori and Matt will accommodate you on a refund if you wanted to do that. I know it's going to be a great, great conference, and I highly recommend that you go. I unfortunately will not be able to attend. And I let everybody know that last week. That's out of the way. I will keep you posted, but let me go over the Mike Tech Show schedule going forward. I am reducing the amount of shows I'm going to be doing for the next couple months. I'm going to be only doing a show every other week right now. So no show next week. I'm going to do one the following week. But then the week after, I'm going to have the surgery. So there's no way I want to plan a show. So at least for July, there's going to be two shows. And I'm going to, do everything humanly possible for me to do the show. Just bear with me until I get through this, and hopefully it'll begin to heal. I am obeying the doctors. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. It's just not healing, and that's a problem with the type of fracture I have. So enough about this, and what we're going to do is let's talk about the topics tonight, and enough about my foot. I do appreciate everybody's thoughts, prayers, emails, and encouragement. Thank you. Thank you. And I've gotten a lot, and I really, really, really appreciate that. And as you know, it's been a challenge. I posted the show from 2 weeks ago last night because I said, I can't go on tonight and do a new show when I haven't even posted the last show I recorded. So that was a motivation to get that edited and get that posted up last night. With all of this, to get real personal, what happens this week? My wife falls heading to work in Center City, Philadelphia, and messes up her wrist. Her wrist is wrapped. They can't tell whether her wrist is broken yet because it's too soon and they want to wait a few days before they do another x-ray. You can't make this up. I got my wife with no left arm, me with no left foot. Oh, this is a fun summer already. I'm making the best of it. I'm doing as much as I can remotely for clients. It is impacting my business. That's a problem. So I'm going to have to deal with that. I've talked about Untangle in the past. Untangle is a firewall that is an open, well, not open source, but it's a Linux distribution, Untangle. And it has free monitoring and some free options, but you don't get the advanced reporting and some of the advanced features without subscribing to their software service. It is well worth it. Now, you know, I described a few shows ago where I had a client that we had to block a bunch of things and we signed up for the service. So a few links, the first links for tonight's show. First, the main Untangle website. Got that. The next I want to go over is a very interesting link. The internet is down. What do you do if you have an Untangle server? If you're behind the Untangle, there's a long list of things you can do. Take a look at, and I like this. This was just part of the knowledge base for Untangle. Then I have a link to buy Untangle. Now, they are not a sponsor. They are not a, you know, an affiliate. I'm not even an official reseller. But here's why I'm talking about this. We had a problem with the Untangle. We had to bounce the server, the Untangle box, a couple times last week. And the first time I had to engage tech support, they answered in a couple seconds. I got a human being for tech support. I give them what they call the user ID number. It's a unique ID number that then ties it back to your email account that you've set up. And if you bought support. Now, if you buy the NG firewall support, it's all based on how many licenses. And even if you buy the minimum of 25 licenses, you have live support included, meaning you can call up and talk to a person. This person is a Linux guru. Not only were they so helpful, they have remote access to your device. They were able to go in and look at the config and said, ooh, you know, you shouldn't have this. You should have this. They cleaned up some of the config. They downloaded the kernel logs that they will be analyzing to get back to me. They've got back to me a little bit tonight, and then I'm going to follow up again tomorrow. They're going through the logs to see, is there a hardware problem? Is there, what's going on? Why is the internet all of a sudden blocked and we got to bounce the box? When memory's good, hard drive space is good. Right now, they've confirmed there's no issue with any hardware problem. They can't find any issues with the software config. What I like is the way they engaged. Okay, we didn't solve the problem yet, but they're working on it. I got a single point to deal with a person, and the support was just way, way better than I would have expected. It's not cheap to have some of this for support. The minimum is $540 a year for all the software for 25 devices that you might be protecting on a network. Again, for some small networks, that's not a bad price for everything you're getting for web filtering and the great reports. I like the Untangle product. And now I get to say my first experience with the support has been really good. Knock wood, let's hope we can get to a resolution of the problem, but that's still in play. The last show, I mentioned that this really high-end, expensive system that I purchased for a client, I had to redo the operating system from scratch. Now, to report, I report back, everything's great. After I blew away a factory-installed Windows 10 install, because remember, it couldn't even hard boot reboot the system. Every time you tried to restart it, it would not come back up. You had to go over, hit the button, and do a hard reboot. That's crazy. For a $7,000 computer system, that's insane. I now don't respect any Windows 10 that comes from a manufacturer that's installed. It's almost better I should just reinstall it myself, because my install, which I don't do any brilliant configs or anything. I mean, I just have a simple set of things I do. But that system is flying, and my client is very, very happy. It's running the way a $7,000 computer system should run. I made sure the data was backed up. They didn't really generate a lot, you know, in the short time. And I just blew it away and then talked to support. And then I want them to escalate. I believe there should be some type of a refund. I'm calling them out because I haven't heard back from Puget yet. And right now, I know I mentioned them and I said they're a high-end system. I'm not giving a thumbs up to purchase yet until I see some type of a refund that's going to compensate my client for my time fixing their problem. So yes, the tech support was responsive and they were on it, but I don't like the fact that they shipped a system where they said it was burned in and showed me the burned in results. And it was horrible out of the box. Me doing a clean Windows 10 1803 install was perfect. So right now, the jury's out on that. I'm not going to put another link into the show notes. As a matter of fact, I may even remove the link from a couple shows ago because they don't deserve any credit yet until I see them come through. They know I do a podcast. And that's right. This is directly at you. You know my show. Let's see if they do something for my client. Had to redo a client's laptop. They were Windows 7 and it would no longer boot. My son grabbed the laptop, brought it back last week, and then we took the hard drive out. It's a solid state drive. I plugged it into my dock back here, did Fab's Auto Backup 7 Pro, and it just grabbed everything. There's nothing wrong with that hard drive, the solid state, to Samsung terabyte SSD. There was nothing wrong with any of the Dell hardware for the laptop. We ran diagnostics. The memory's good. The motherboard, everything is good. So our recommendation, it's got 8 gigs of RAM, it's a Core i5. Let's put Windows 10. Let's wipe the drive and put Windows 10. Client gave the okay. We did that. It installed perfectly. Now I Fab's auto backed up back to the hard drive. There are sync folders involved here. So this is the lesson. This is what I want to talk about. First, when we brought the laptop back, his profile on the domain controller that syncs back is 500 gig. Now, he wants to be working offline, so we need to set the sync up. Now, the group policies on the domain, the minute we connected, the minute my son connected that laptop to the network, and I remoted in and announced it to the domain and then made sure it was connecting, it started syncing. So I'm like, oh, great. I don't have to worry about anything. Well, it was only syncing his home directory. It wasn't syncing another folder of shared folders. I learned this a couple days later. And by the way, we had to hook this up to a switch for Ethernet because his office only has Wi-Fi. And there's no way I'm syncing over 500 gig on a LAN via their wireless connection. That's just insane. This was last Friday. Because over the weekend, he took it home, and he couldn't get all of his files weren't there from the sync and that shared directory. So I sent my son back up Monday, and he plugged the laptop in. I remoted in, and one of the first things I realized, the default for sync folders, there's a limit. There's a 200 gig limit. I mean, how big of a hard drive do you have? Well, he has a terabyte, and this is the reason. Because these folders that you're syncing are so large for him to work offline, we had to have a terabyte. The limit was 200 gig. I had to increase the limit. Once I did that, then made sure in the folder list for synced folders that the map drive to the shared folders, which was just another 80 gig, I made that happen. And I said, you cannot touch this machine until the sync is finished. And I demonstrated remotely where they can look to see that that's finished and then unhook. That was Monday. Today is Thursday. Haven't heard a thing. Everything should be good. But just keep that in mind. Offline folders can nab you with that limit on Windows 10, which I just didn't realize. Just keep that in mind. It's something you may have to adjust. And if you have to for a client, hopefully your hard drives are big enough to handle that. All right. One problem before I get into these other Windows 10 links and some email, one problem that I'm running into is my search service. This is on my main computer right here that I'm recording the show. The Windows search service will not start. I get the following error. Windows could not start the Windows search service on local computer. Error 15, the system cannot find the drive specified. All of a sudden, I can't perform any searches at all on my system, even within Outlook. I went through unhiding those protected folders and deleting, trying the registry entry that you're going to read that you got to change this one key to zero. I've done that. I have done so many things that I've been reading. I'm asking for assistance. Now, here's my current workaround. It's better to disable the service than to just leave it not started. Because although my searches are slower, I can search Outlook. I can do some basic searches from the search menu. They're slower, but they're working. I was at a point where they weren't even working. Better than that, I'm not down because of Copernic. And I've talked about Copernic a lot. I've been using that for years. And I gotta admit, sometimes I forget that it's even there in indexing. You know, you just double tap the control key, it pops up. That, I am so glad, is working. And now I'm living in that as I search emails. My email is just a big repository of communication for all my clients. And I like to search all folders on a client's name, so many different things. I'm searching email constantly. I am so glad for Copernic. And that's what you'd have to do if you're built-in Windows search. If there's a problem, you have no choice, but you have to go to a third party. I highly recommend Copernic. It's under 100. I think it's like $79. Might even be cheaper than that. I give a thumbs up for that, and it's saving me now. But I would like help. There's a lot of articles on Windows search not working. I am Windows 10 1709. I can't go to 1803 right now. I still have an issue. So here are a couple great Windows 10 links. This one I found. Windows 10, April 2008 update, common problems and fixes. Nice little go-to here on common problems and the fixes. How to fix Windows update errors installing, how to fix with a certain codes of update, how to fix media creation tool errors installing the April update. I mean, on and on. There is a beautiful list and screenshots step by step on a whole lot of post-1803 problems. Unfortunately, I can't paste this into the chat, but it is the windowscentral.com and then Windows 10 April 2000 update common problems and fixes. I think this is a great link to save. Now, another Windows 10 problem. An update happened on a laptop for a client that now restricts USB drives. Okay, we've seen this. So no USB stick can come in. You get a little error that this is being stopped by some kind of policy. I checked all of the group policies. We went through and made sure the UB store registry entry was 3. Well, I believe everything. Clearly, there's still a problem. We can't fix it. So tomorrow, I'm putting an email together. I want my son to go over and pick up the laptop for this user. They have spares, so they can deploy a spare. Let's get the laptop in my hand so I can deal with this. But this is a site of common things to try for getting USB to work. And I'm going to keep that in the show notes. None of these things fixed my problem, but they did fix when I ran into this before. So very, very interesting. All right. It is time for some email. Here we go. This is from, I love his first name, Dexter. Mike, maybe someone has an idea on this. I have an Exchange Server 2013 that the Outlook clients are having fits not updating very frequently. The Exchange Server 2013 is running as a virtual machine. I have run health checks on it, and it passes. All the Outlook clients are Outlook 2013 or 2016. I have tried several options suggested about Outlook. Send-receive options, offline copies options. I have deleted one PC's Outlook profile and rebuilt it. No luck. Outlook will say, example, last update 1 p.m. and it's now 4 p.m. No update. Also, we'll get error connecting sometimes. The only infrastructure change made is one PC and credit card machine had to be put on a separate LAN for PCI compliance. Any ideas? The first thing I want to know, are there other things happening? Do we have something going on the network? The server config, I assume there's a domain controller involved and there's, is there possibly some group policies do you need to look at? Is DNS set right? When in doubt on any network, the first thing I do is DNS right on the domain controller. Is everything set? Go back to basics on that setup. Are there any other issues? I want to make sure it's not just Exchange, that there's other issues. Exchange, have we hit any kind of maximums on the information store size? Because we didn't talk about that. Have you went through the event logs to see if there's anything going on? I'm assuming you did because you're looking at this. Tim in the chat, beautiful recommendation. Have you went through the Microsoft Connectivity Checker? Google that, Tim. Awesome idea. So try those things and then let me know if there's other, if there's anything else going on. What are your recommendations that we can help and get back to Dexter? Dexter, thanks. He's a longtime listener and contributor to the show. This is from David. Thanks for reading my email out in your latest podcast where I asked for advice about the Windows 7 photo viewer. I will try out that registry hack to get it working again in Windows 10. Awesome. Just while I'm on, in your latest podcast, you were talking about the troubleshooting tips to avoid a conflict between Ethernet and Wi-Fi connections. And you went on to recommend disabling Wi-Fi and then said that you had done just that at one of your Mac-only clients. I just wanted to let you know that doing this may hinder the recovery of their Macs should they been stolen or lost. Very interesting. You know, that is a good point. Luckily, they're iMacs, and we hope they're not going to be taken, but, you know, you're right. That is a good point. The Mac's Find My Mac feature will connect to any open Wi-Fi networks and enable you to track the location of the Mac and remote wipe it if necessary. Obviously, if the Wi-Fi has been disabled, this may result in a delay and may allow the baddies to disable this feature. Obviously, this is more of a worry with laptops as they are easily stolen, but the same would apply to iMacs and Mac Pros, etc. I have had Wi-Fi and Ethernet enabled on my Mac for this very reason for a number of years without any problems. And you can set the priority. I'm on my iMac right now. And if I go to System Preferences, go to Network, and you can take a look at Ethernet. Then I have Bluetooth PAN, and then which is disabled. Then I have Wi-Fi, which is off, and then Thunderbolt Bridge. So you can rank them. And right now I always have Ethernet as number one and then Wi-Fi because I have a hard wire running here and I have my Wi-Fi turned off on mine. If someone comes in and takes that, let me tell you, if someone comes in and takes this, I got more serious problems than just trying to get that iMac back. but I have cameras and alarms. Not that that's foolproof, but you got to do your due diligence when you're set up like this. David, thanks very much for all of your for your suggestions. I like your recommendation. Email from Gary. This is the last email for the night. This is a link to vulnerability in WordPress can provide full control. This is a Spiceworks link. And I love my WordPress. It's always had this problem. And it's why you got to be very careful with the plugins. And I've been hacked, as you guys know. You got to make sure you're always at the latest, greatest WordPress. My website, when it's been compromised, it's been because of plugins that had issues. And I have greatly minimized the plugins that I work with. And that has reduced my risk. I also make sure I'm constantly updating. So just something to keep in mind when you are dealing with WordPress. Keep it updated, minimize the plugins, make sure they are very, very trusted. That's it for tonight's show. Please remember to support the show. The best way is the Amazon link that's in the show notes that Carrie Holzman and I support. As a matter of fact, from a couple months ago, Carrie just informed me that he just got payment because they're always 2 months behind Amazon. And this is the first one from April that we are splitting. And it's because of you. It's still way, way less than it was when I was doing it myself. I truly thank Carrie for doing this. And to help support Tech Vets and the Mike Tech Show, the best way to do it, click on that link. We get a small commission. Your price stays the same, and it really helps us. To that end, now there's no Mike Tech Show next week. Stay alert on social media for possible Tech Vets, okay? See, I'll make it up to you. I'll find a way. Carrie and I, he sent me an email earlier, and we're gonna try to work out something for next week. Instant House Call, instanthousecall.com. Try it. I can't live without it, especially being grounded like I am. Fabs Auto Backup, incredible. Auto Backup 7 Pro, it's the way to transfer all your settings, all your files from one system to another, from one operating system to another. Computer Business Kit version 3, Bryce from TechNibble. This is a great kit for anybody that's got consulting or repair business. And also Matt Rodella's Tech Site Builder at techsitebuilder.com. That's where my mhsconsulting.net is hosted that he designed. Check that out. You want something done for a tech website, that's the place to go. Tech website, techsitebuilder.com. Next show for the Mike Tech Show will be Thursday night, the 12th, hopefully. I will see you all then. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.